The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you want to hear the Astros, they're over on 94.1. We'll keep you up to date. 2-1 Red Sox, bottom of the second, two outs, and no one on for the Astros. So that's what's happening. Just had a little announcer talk there for a bit. And somebody asked, so by that logic, does Tony Romo not broadcast the way you like because you notice him while he's talking and say he's really good?
I think he's fantastic.
Now, let me clarify this because I guess you didn't understand what I said. There's two different roles that we're talking about. And I specifically said a play-by-play guy is a guy you don't notice. A color analyst, which is what Romo is, you do notice because he's giving you insight.
Right.
And I think he's different than anybody else out there. You pick up things that you don't pick up yourself, and that's a different job. So I thought I was pretty clear about that, but maybe not. I don't think – and the truth is some people don't understand that there is a difference between what those two jobs are supposed to be. So I thought I explained it okay. If I didn't, I apologize. 713-780-ESPN. We're through two innings. It is 2-1 in favor of the evil Red Sox. Did you watch any of the Dodgers game last night?
I did not, if I'm being honest. Did you?
No, I was hoping you did so you could talk about it. I just saw that the Brewers won and that basically the Dodgers are blaming their fans for not being into the game. It's like, dude, you're L.A. They show up late. They leave early even for a playoff game. Come on.
Yeah.
How about you play better?
Yeah.
So, well, I've got, I do have a little college news for you.
Okay. I'll take some.
If it's okay if we go outside of the state of Texas. Apparently, Khalil Tate may not play against UCLA.
Well.
He re-injured his ankle against Utah.
Re-injured.
He's been injured all year. Yeah.
I just don't think that guy's been right, which is really unfortunate. I mean, he's such a – I don't even know what I should say. I should say he was such a dynamic player to watch, and he's just not the same guy anymore. It's really sad.
I don't know how much of it – well, I'm certain he's been hurt all year. I also don't think someone has used him right, but that's hardly a shock. I mean, I think, you know, it's – he really needs somebody that can run his offense the right way. And you know, that means stay in the pocket and throw quick passes. It's, you know, I think it's kind of damning to see what Kyler Murray's doing in the same offense at Oklahoma now.
Yeah.
When Sumlin had him, not so much. But Foster asked, curious where you guys see Will Grier at the next level, and does he have a chance at the Heisman? I think any chance he had at the Heisman was gone last week.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, there's a lot – there's people still giving Will Grier a good shot at the Heisman. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't see either. That with him.
I think Tua is an odds-on favorite right now, and I think if they keep winning, the kid at Ohio State
– Haskins.
Yeah, he's putting up ridiculous numbers. That would be second on my list.
I think Kyler Murray's probably ahead of Will Grier.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Herbert might be ahead of Will Grier. Did you see Justin Herbert's stats are – like through however many games, six games or whatever it was, are basically a mirror of Marcus Mariota's stats the year that he won the Heisman. So he's not getting talked about much.
And no, they need to win a few more games and get higher up in the rankings.
Yeah.
And he needs to keep putting up numbers.
But, well, they're higher up in the rankings than West Virginia now, aren't they?
Yeah, but I wasn't considering Will Grier conversation. So
I don't think Will Grier is going to have a shot at the Heisman, but – I don't know where Will Grier will end up on draft day. I think there's
as a lot of people are high on the kid from Missouri.
Yeah,
I think
Drew Locke.
He's going to go pretty high.
I would say. I mean, he's not very accurate. Most of what you see from Will Grier is screen plays. He gets sacked a lot. He's holding onto the ball too long. I don't know. It's probably more of a question for Lance.
Yeah, but this is the problem with a guy like that. It's a one-read offense, and that's why I've always been, you know, not high on guys coming out of that offense. Now, sometimes it works. It obviously has with Patrick Mahomes so far. We'll see if it works with Baker Mayfield. But
I'll tell you who I like as far as – I mean, I obviously like Justin Herbert at the next level. I really like Daniel Jones from Duke. I remember when he got hurt earlier this season, I was like, just stop betting on Duke, period. They're dead to me without Daniel Jones there. And since he's been back, Duke's rolling again. I think
crap out of Baylor without him.
Yeah, that's true. But he's got the size. He's a he's really accurate. I'm a big fan of that dude. I think that he's a guy who, and again, I'm not Lance. I don't watch as much film as Lance does on these guys. I'm watching games and just taking what I see from games. But that's a guy I feel like can play at the next level.
Yeah, the other guy that who's out there that I think is going to go pretty high is Ryan Finley.
Ryan Finley from North Carolina State. And, yeah, he's good.
And I don't mind that. Most of the time, those NC State quarterbacks, for some reason, they tend to translate.
Yeah, well, let's see how he looks against Clemson this week.
Yeah, that'll be a good that'll be a good test.
Yep.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And we have one out in the top of the third, still 2-1 Red Sox. And Keuchel has settled down after that first inning, which... thought might happen. So
retired seven straight.
Not bad. Mm.
He's retired them, so they're not coming back?
Nope. They left baseball forever, Mookie Betts included.
Well, I think the Astros have a chance then.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm retired. You retired too? Not me. I'm in my prime. Speaking of Ohio State, thoughts on Bosa sitting out the rest of the season to focus on the NFL draft?
That's disappointing. It's one thing to sit out a bowl game, but this is why you got a scholarship. You know, like you kind of need to. It just seems like a crappy teammate thing to do. I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind him sitting out of bowl games.
Me too, because that bowl game does nothing for you. But. You know, these regular season games, and what if Ohio State's playing for a national championship?
Well, that's the thing. Ohio State legitimately has a chance to make the playoff. He could be healthy by that playoff game. And to me, you want to raise your stock, get out there and have a monster game against Alabama or against Clemson or Notre Dame. I think it's a bad move. I think it's a little bitch move, to be honest with
you. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I mean, I'm usually about these guys trying to get ready for the NFL draft, and I have no problem with – especially skipping bowl games, because bowl games are meaningless unless they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
They really are. They're just exhibitions. I don't want guys getting hurt. And if they're going in the NFL draft, like if UH makes a bowl game that's not one of the, you know, if they're not the group of five team that's in the New Year's Day games, for them that's a big deal. But if they're just playing in the Bell Helicopter Bowl or whatever, I'd sit at Oliver down. I wouldn't let him get hurt. Yeah. That guy's got too much money to lose.
Lamont says, in my opinion, is Texas a true top 10 team? I say no. I have them power rated at 12 this week.
Well, it's so close.
Yeah.
They can sniff the
just
top 10.
Just outside there. They're getting closer.
Yeah, they could see, they got their little noses pressed up against the window of the top 10.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jong does whenever we're in here. He presses his nose up against the window like, I wish I could be in the big room.
Yeah. I've got Utah, LSU, Oregon, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama still rated ahead of them.
So you still have Oklahoma ahead of them?
Yeah.
Oklahoma better loss than Texas? Is that why?
Well, I just mean it's just the way if it came out again. Well, and I don't know. I shouldn't say that because if it came out again and Oklahoma was a 4-point favorite this time, I'd probably still bet Texas as a dog. But I mostly base it off like what would – so Alabama's my number one.
Right.
I base the rest of the power rating off what would the point spread be against Clemson? What would it be against Ohio State? What would it be against Michigan? And just kind of from there. And I have Texas as right now 18-point dog to Alabama. That sound about right to you?
Yeah, I'd take Alabama to cover that.
Yeah.
Jeff Sagarin, who I use for these because I trust his numbers more than I do my own.
Yeah.
He has Texas at 16.
Okay.
Aggie at 17, so they're ahead of Aggie. But, yeah, Alabama has one of the highest ratings I've ever seen on his.
I mean, they're one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Yeah. But he has it Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma fourth still.
Yeah.
Michigan fifth. Penn State sixth, which give me a break. They've lost.
Dude, I'm done with Penn State. I dropped Penn State out. I dropped them behind Texas.
They should be. Georgia 7, Washington 8, LSU 9, Iowa 10.
But and see, he's saying Georgia State still ahead of LSU, or Georgia still ahead of LSU.
Well, if they played on a neutral field,
yeah.
Do I think Georgia would probably win? Yeah, I do. But
where'd he drop Auburn to?
Let me see. Scrolling down. Notre Dame's 11th on his list, by the way.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah. Well, that's low. That's one reason why I like it,
though. For me, and I'm kind of down on Notre Dame. I have Notre Dame 8.
Auburn is 29th.
Okay, that's about right.
Right behind Texas Tech and TCU. Tech is behind TCU, even though they went in there and beat them by 3.
Yeah.
But, again, I think these ratings are, you know, it's body of work. And I think they're pretty good. And that's like the computer program I use for college football. I take his ratings, and then I have a scaled home field advantage and then a cluster injury thing that I put in there. And that's how I get what the spread should be.
What's he have the spread? But what's he have the points between Bama and Ohio State?
It's not an actual.
Oh, he doesn't do it like where it'll make a point spread.
Yeah, I mean it's a power ranking because it would be 7.
Okay,
and that's not. I don't think that would be the actual spread. But
I have 6.
Okay,
which
So then maybe it is
splitting hairs.
Yeah, it would be 7. For Ohio State, 7 for Clemson.
I have 5.5 for Clemson, 6 for Ohio State.
11 for OU, 11 for Michigan, 13 Penn State, 13 Georgia, 15 Washington LSU, 16
by the way,
Iowa.
13 Penn State, stop.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, the real question, though, is that is Tua going to be healthy?
Yeah.
Because if not, I mean, they're still better than everybody else.
I think he'll be healthy by the time they need him.
Yeah, they're still going to beat everybody on their schedule even without him.
Right.
But if they have him, I mean, they're an unstoppable train.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Lightstream. And you know what you should be doing to save some money? Maybe you got your credit cards and you got some balances on them. And you're thinking, oh, man, these things are getting kind of expensive. Well, if you got good credit, guess what? Lightstream can help you with a credit card consolidation loan. You can take all those credit cards and pay them off and then just pay back Lightstream. Because here's the thing. Your credit card interest rate is probably around 18%, maybe higher. Well, guess what? Lightstream's going to beat that. That's what they do. And all you have to do is go online. It's so easy. They, I mean, they have, all you have to do is basically go to the website. You can get the money as soon as the day that you go after it. And they can get you consolidation loans from $5,000 to $100,000. How about that? And how about this 6.14% APR with AutoPay? That's a little bit lower than that 18%. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. How about this? Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred, LightStream.com/Fred. Start saving money today. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm sharing food. Wrapped in paper.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And was that Tony Kemp just making a hell of a catch against the wall to get him out of the inning?
Yes, it was.
So, top of the third, Red Sox got two on, fly ball to left, and Kemp went up against the wall, snagged it, inning over. 713 says, talking about announcers, the more I listen to Mendoza, the more I think she's fantastic. I agree.
She's good, man.
She really, I learned something from her. That's what I asked for from a color analyst. Tell me something I don't know about the team, and especially if it's a team you followed all year. And I think she does a great job of that. So, or something about the sport. And it's not, I think there's more good color analysts in baseball than there are in other sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I think so often, especially football and basketball, they just rely on former players. And a lot of it's like, oh, when I was playing. And that just, to me, that gets irritating. But somebody asked about Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck on baseball is pretty good as a play-by-play guy. I know people hate him because they think he's anti-whatever their team
yeah.
is.
Yeah, Joe Buck bothers me less than he bothers everybody else.
Yeah, I on baseball, I actually like him. Football, and maybe it's because he's with Aikman, who I also think is terrible. I just think that's a bad pairing, and they're hard to listen to. And you know, but rather than complain about it, I usually have the games muted unless it's a Texans game where I have to keep up with everything. But most of the time, I just mute the games and watch. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. You know what? Brandon's been very patient. Let's get Brandon on. What's up, man?
Hey, sports fellas.
Sports to you.
Yeah, just following up on the whole the Bosa stuff that came out today. With that being said, what do you think? If I'm not that Michigan to win that game, even though it's at the shoe. I was at the Big House this past weekend, and they look awful good against Wisconsin.
Yeah,
appreciate it, fellas.
My take is that Michigan's not going to lose again until the playoff. I think Michigan wins out, and I think Michigan makes it to the playoff.
I would caution you a little bit on Wisconsin because I think Wisconsin was a
Wisconsin's trash.
Well, they were a bad matchup for Michigan because you called it when we were talking about it last week. Michigan stops the run. That's all Wisconsin can do, yeah. And that's exactly what happened. And so that game got out of hand. I'm intrigued because I think Ohio State-Michigan is going to be a very good game.
I do too.
And I'm kind of with you. I think they're getting better as they go along.
Shea Patterson's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I think if they don't lose again,
no, they haven't beat Michigan State in forever.
Yeah,
so it's been like 7 years or something. I mean, it's crazy. So I mean, they got to get that out of the way first,
right? And Michigan State seems to be getting it together now, finally, after a really crappy start.
Cost me a lot of money this week,
but no, I think I think if Michigan wins out, they're definitely in the playoff because that'll include wins over Wisconsin, Michigan State, Ohio State. And I think if they beat Ohio State, they're in.
Yeah.
Because I can't see them losing to anybody else. And, you know, I think it'd be fun. I'd love to see Harbaugh get in the playoff. But I think one of those teams, you can pretty much do the Ohio State, Michigan exact the box. One of them's getting in the playoffs.
Right.
I think. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Astros up in the bottom of the third, trailing 2-1 in game three. James Harden.
James, Chris, and James isn't sitting with Paul and Carmelo.
No, he's sitting with Tillman Fertitta.
The big boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why those guys don't get to sit with Tillman.
Well, they're not the MVP.
There you go. But
sorry, bro. I mean, it's not like they're sitting with the poors. They're front row in the Diamond Club. They're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're all right. It's, what the heck was that?
That's their they're dance
showing game
moves.
One. Why are we showing highlights from game one? Let's show highlights from this game. Let's watch this game, TBS. Come on. And I don't need to see any more James Harden.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You need more.
Looks like he's talking to Andrew, who works for us, the guy next to him.
Trust me, Andrew ain't sitting down there.
No, no. Hell, none of us are sitting down there.
Nope.
I sat there one time when I was at the Chronicle. I was a guest of Drayton's, and because he was mad about something we wrote, and so he wanted to talk to me about it, and it's like, you feel like a champion? You're sitting here, you feel like a champion, don't you?
I sat there.
You're 500.
I sat there for three innings. The last three innings of the game, Dallas Keuchel was pitching, in fact. The game, they clinched the playoff series against the Royals. I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was working for Network ESPN.
Ah.
And I had to go down and interview Dallas Keuchel after the game. And so I sat there for three innings. Guess who I saw there? John Granato.
Oh, of course.
That's like, dude, that's John Granato getting his seats.
He plays golf with Jim Crane.
I mean,
they're like boys.
Life.
Yeah.
Johnny G in the Diamond Club.
Was he climbing on?
I'm sure.
Climb on, brother.
I'm sure. And he like raised his glass. Yeah, that's John.
So I was there once for an Astros game with Drayton, and then once when they were having that Minute Maid Classic. For some reason, I got Diamond Club tickets for that given to me. So I went there, and I was like, oh, wait, this is college baseball. Not cool. So, Fred, any thoughts on the Chronicle bigwig going to NPR? A couple people have asked me about that. I don't know her at all. She came after I left the Chronicle. So I really have no insight into whether she's any good or anything. I mean, she came into a paper that was cutting back quite a bit, and from what I can tell, they've survived. But I wish I had some insight into her. I really can't tell you anything about her. I apologize. About four people have asked me that, but I never worked with her. She came there probably 2 years after I left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can tell you what some of the people there think of her a little bit. But, oh, boy. Almost got that one past third, but instead...
Run out another double play, at least.
Yep. It was Altuve. He cranked one, and it just... Great defensive play there. So, a runner on first, one out. Springer led off with a single, and just got knocked out at second. So now, what did you write about McClain that he won? It wasn't something I wrote, actually. It was something that our writer had done.
It's Jerome.
No, it wasn't Jerome. It was someone else, but it was early in the internet era where we were having to try to figure out when you print a story on the internet, and it's all changed now because people just make stuff up,
right?
But back then, when we would post something, we were trying to be as accurate as possible, and the story wasn't inaccurate. It's just he didn't like the way it came across. It made it look like he didn't make an effort to keep Andy Pettit, when the reality is they got outbid by the Yankees, and he was very ticked off because he thought his offer was the same as what he told us. And the reality is it wasn't. He did lowball him, and he lost the guy. And he didn't like seeing that online. And so we had a little discussion about it. Well, he called me bitching and then invited me to the game. And then we went to the game and to a game later that year to try to clear the air. But it's just kind of like by then he had calmed down. Yeah, he could get a little irritable.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze Chase on real quick. What's up, Chase?
Okay. Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, so you guys are talking about NFL commentators. It seems like everyone hates on all of the commentators, whether it's Joe Buck or Tony Romo or Jason Witten or Chris Collinsworth. Is there anyone in the NFL that does a good job? Call me crazy, but I actually don't mind Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. So I just want to know who you guys like.
I don't dislike Al Michaels. Yeah. I don't really I
think we praised Romo.
Yeah, I think Romo's the best.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I think Michaels is good because you really don't notice him. But yeah, the things that irritate me might not irritate the average person, because that, plus Collinsworth is just smarmy.
Yeah.
And he's just that rubs me the wrong way. The fact that he's plugging the crap out of Pro Football Focus all the time rubs me the wrong way. And then eventually he's just going to say something that I find ridiculously irritating, and then he won't let go of it. He's like a bulldog once he does it. And I was talking about people repeating themselves. He'll just say, see, I was right about this. The offensive line is not doing – and it's like, okay, yeah, we heard that the first 26 times. And, yeah, to me, that's not enjoyable, and part of the experience should be enjoyable to me. And yeah. If it's not, then that's okay. I will do something else. I will mute it and listen to music or something. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, or I'll put – it's impossible, though, to put the radio call on because the timing doesn't work, and I can't do that. It's like the radio is always like 7 seconds ahead of the TV, at least on mine. So I can't sync those up. But so I just don't listen to them because I'm not getting any insight. I'm not learning anything about the game, and it's just irritating me. So why listen?
It's fair.
And
Is fair?
I miss Tirico. I think Tirico's the best.
Well, you know what Tirico did? He got a new job.
I know.
You know where he got that new job? My computer career. He didn't love what he was doing. His job was sucking the life out of him. He was sitting there next to Gruden. Gruden was out of his mind. He's like, you know what? I'm looking for something new. You could do that too. IT, I know what you're thinking. I'm not a math or a science guy. It doesn't matter. They don't care. There's no excuse. It's not rocket science. It's my computer career. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do. If you don't absolutely love what you're doing now, you're not absolutely satisfied with the money you're making, make a change. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys. Sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz and joining us live from Minute Maid Park, where
you're looking live.
Because of him, the Astros still trail 2-1. Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
What? I'm a jinx now?
Could be.
Yeah, I think we're going to put that on you. You're that important.
No, they're threatening, and they've been threatening, so I expect them to bust loose at any moment now. Marvin did just line out against the wall with two on, so to end the last one. But, they're, you know, it's one of those days where they're going to have to put together some hits in a row. They really haven't been able to just pile them on top of each other. I expect them to bust loose any time, though.
I'm going to guess that the energy was really good when the game started. Did the first inning for Keuchel, did that take some of the wind out of the sails there in Minute Maid?
Not really. I mean, it was it's still pretty jacked up. I'm a little surprised, actually, that they, you know, didn't fade that quickly. But they got, you know, a run back real quick, too. And, you know, and Altuve got a hit and Bregman got a hit. So, you know, you get right off the top of your lineup and you get back in it, so the crowd gets going again. So now
it's actually not too bad. Now, it's not rocking like it was last year. It is different. There's no question about that. It's not nearly as energetic, but we're spoiled, you know. They had a championship parade last year, so people are like, this is nothing. Just another ALCS. Happens all the time, right?
Well, I'd be curious if they actually do something to take the lead in the next couple innings to see if that doesn't change it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And it's also, too, they hit a home run or something like that, or, you know, have a big inning, the place is going to be ridiculous because it is a loud building, especially when the roof is closed, which it is most of the time, and will be, you know, throughout the playoffs here. It'll be jumping. And people are, you can tell, they got here early, and there's a lot of energy outside the stadium before the start of the game. So it's a good, solid Houston crowd, that's for sure.
Keuchel, obviously, a little rocky in the first inning, but he's settled down nicely since.
Yeah, I mean, that's been his norm lately. I mean, he's pitched really well since June. I mean, his ERA is like 3.23 since mid-June, and 9-3 after that early start. But he's given up, I just looked it up a little while ago, he's 26 runs in the first inning this year, and only 24 runs in the second, third, and fourth combined. So he's had a lot of trouble getting to his spot off the start. But once he settles in, he can really start working the corners and doing what he does. Because he's just not going to throw it hard enough to throw it by people. And if they come out jumping on what he's throwing, he has a tough time getting out. He has that trouble today.
You got to feel good, though, as an Astros fan that once he settles down a little bit, Tony Kemp's making the great play out there, getting a little defense behind him, although not on that play. But that's the kind of thing that keeps him in the game, right, until they can do something.
Yeah, and that's that was a good thing with they ended up losing. That was a good thing with Gerrit Cole the other day. I mean, he's got fairly decent defense. We don't know what happened with Maldonado behind the plate, but once the guy settled in and didn't explode and didn't get ganked out early, because not only does it affect you that day, obviously, but you have to start running your bullpen in. And guys get a whole lot more work than they're used to, especially on this team. You don't know how it will affect you the next day. And the next day, if something were to go wrong, and you got Charlie Martin going tomorrow, and he can go out. He's not going to pitch more than six innings unless something crazy happens. So you're going to need your bullpen, and he can dominate, but you're still going to need your bullpen. So, yeah, they need Keuchel to get through five today and do it well. And if he can hold them to two runs through five or six innings, they'll be ecstatic about that.
How do you see the rest of this series going? Obviously, the Red Sox are no joke, and I think this is I think this one's going to go pretty deep here, but these are two really good teams. What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if either one of these teams could win it in five, because I think they're both that good and can be that dominant at a certain time. But the key in today's game is really kind of important, I think. You don't want to fall behind. You don't want to get to the pressure of the next day. But think about it. When you get to games five and six, if game six is necessary, you got Verlander and Cole. I mean, you can't chalk up a win in any way, shape, or form at this time of year against the Red Sox. But you feel pretty good about those two guys going. Question is, where else are you going to get a win? You'd like to get one of those routes today.
So you sticking with this series for the rest of the week? Or are you going to catch a Rockets tomorrow? What's your schedule look like?
Yeah, I'm going to go out to the Rockets tomorrow, and then I'm not going to go to Boston. I'm going to go catch that big old AFC South showdown in Jacksonville.
Oh, you lucked out. You must have drawn the longest straw.
I did Boston last weekend. That was enough. So I'll get out and watch Texas. They can't be as bad as they were last week.
Oh, yes, they can.
But we said that the week before that and the week before that.
They've been that bad 6 weeks in a row. It can happen.
Yeah, they're just not that good. It's pretty funny. I mean, and I really think, even though the defense has done some decent things, they're not nearly as dominant as you would think their talent would speak to them being able to be. So it's just it's weird to say it's a disappointing season at 3-3 when they started 0-3, but they've been disappointing, period. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of reason for optimism about them turning it around. I mean,
And we all talked about it. We knew they could go 8-8 or, you know, something like that. But I don't think we expected them to be this bad to get to that 8-8 stuff.
Yeah, and I just felt like there was nothing positive about that game Sunday. And I mean, I tried to find something, but they were outplayed by a really bad team and were lucky to get out of there with a win.
Yeah, and then talked about this backup quarterback stuff before, but if your backup quarterback isn't good enough to play that day when you know Deshaun is hurt and can't play his game and you're playing the Buffalo Bills at home, why do you even have a backup quarterback on the roster almost? I mean, that's just a weird coaching decision, especially as limited as Deshaun obviously was. And they had to know that. I mean, it's not like, you know, or if they didn't know it, they should have figured it out in the first, you know, couple of possessions. Like, okay, he's not going to play his game. It's not worth risking him this early in the season anyway, is it? But to them, I guess it is.
Especially when you get that 10-0 lead, it's obvious he's not himself. I think you might think about making a move there, but obviously,
yeah. I mean, I just wonder how do they make these decisions? Are they all just solely Bill O'Brien decisions? And we know that when the clock is on, his decision making is very questionable. he doesn't handle game time pressure very well, and I think that's a call the general manager has to make and say, "Hey, man, get Deshaun out of there. He's not protecting himself. He damn sure is not getting protected by the offensive line. So why are we taking this chance here against a team that we ought to be able to beat? If we just take a knee every, you know, three times and punt, we still should be able to beat the Bills, don't you think?"
Yeah, they should have used the water boy offense.
Exactly.
The red boy U offense. Hey, but before we let you go, as bad as they've been, it's not like Jacksonville's been any good either, especially the last couple weeks. Their defenses look like garbage. Their offense is Blake Bortles. They could actually go in there and be competitive with these clowns.
I would have thought they could go in there and really be competitive, except Jacksonville's been so bad. That can't continue, can it? I mean, well, it can, but they're going to show up and play one game. And, you know, the way the Texans' luck runs, that'll be this Sunday. I mean, they're overdue to play a better game than they played the last couple of weeks. So, no, I don't expect them to be able to go in there and win that game. They would have a much better chance of winning it if Jacksonville had won the last 2 weeks.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon, who's live at Minute Maid Park, and we'll be writing. And, Jerome, I've actually been getting your newspaper and reading your columns, and you're doing a great job. So,
fine, thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
And
you don't even have to send the check to the concert. Just pay me. I'll be even better.
No, because then they won't bring me my paper anymore. It took me 2 weeks to get them to deliver the damn thing. I'm not screwing that up now, pal.
I understand. All right, man. Catch y'all later.
Okay. That's Jerome Solomon. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Hey, you know what I want to do, though? At 5:45, I'm going to give you away 3 bottles of Thrive Plus. Thrive Plus, the after alcohol aid, is designed specifically to mitigate the negative effects of alcohol by replacing lost vitamins and providing your liver with what it needs to break down alcohol and its toxic byproducts. Thrive Plus is the patented solution to help you recover. Just take 2 tablets before bed or after your last beverage. I take 3, so I might say take 3 tablets before bed or after your last beverage. This is your opportunity to check it out. You can win a 3-bottle sample now. For more information or to purchase Thrive Plus, log on to DecideThrive.com. At 5:45, we'll take caller number 10. That is like one of the better giveaways we've ever had this week. So, all right, a lot more to go. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Not on SportsMap 94.1, where you can go catch your Astros, who just got out of the inning, still down 2-1.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, pub crawl Saturday, running out of time. It's a Houston thing. First annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl brought to you by Thrive Plus. Going to be awesome. You need to get signed up for it now because the price is going to go up every day. And 10 places hosting it. You don't have to go to all 10. You can go pick a spot, watch the game, watch college football. $3 drinks, man. You can't beat that. You get a Be Someone t-shirt, pub crawl, wristband, cup, koozie, Thrive Plus samples. So you're going to feel great the next day. And get your tickets now. General and VIP tickets are available at htxpubcrawls.com. And there goes Carlos Correa striking out for the second out in the bottom of the fourth. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to Iowa City, where...
My favorite.
A 43-year-old Iowa City woman has been charged with homicide after a crime involving her husband. Apparently, he was... cheating.
Okay.
She found out her husband had been having an affair for several years with a 24-year-old woman he'd met through an online sugar daddy dating website.
All right.
So she purchased a small quantity of plastic explosives. She drugged her husband with sleeping pills. This has got to be a fake story the more I read this. It's from CBS News 10, wherever that is.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
She detonated plastic explosives in his anus. So he died instantly in the explosion. I'm pretty sure it's a fake story, but it's pretty funny that, you know, that sounds like something that women want out there to let their guys know, hey, if you cheat, you might get your butt blown
up. Yeah.
So.
I mean, I feel like a firecracker would have done.
Yeah, I don't
like
think.
Like a black cat.
A black cat would have been fine. What are those ones, those mortar shells? That would have done some damage.
Like even a bottle rocket, like it'd singe him up real good.
You know what we used to do with bottle rockets, and I probably shouldn't. Okay, who the bleep is calling me? It's another one of those numbers I don't recognize. We used to like go to down to the Tech City Dike, light the bottle rocket, and then shoot it under the water because it would.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It'd pop under the water. That was pretty cool. You had to hold on to him a long time though. I'm surprised we didn't lose a finger or two during those days. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
This one I'm pretty sure is true. Where visitors were going to jazz night at Ripley's Aquarium in one of my favorite cities in the world, Toronto, last Friday.
Okay.
And a man decided to take a dip in the aquarium. And he did it completely naked. And guess what happened to be in the aquarium? Two sharks.
Oh, not great.
Yeah. They managed to get him out, but he followed orders to get out. Then he dived back into the water. So the second time they had to secure him. So the guy was obviously a little, I'm going to go with alcohol was involved here.
More than likely.
But if I'm going to jump into an aquarium, I'm going to make sure there's no sharks. And I'm not going to do it naked because I don't know what fish is going to think that's bait or something and come after it. You don't want that. What the hell?
That's not good.
No.
But I think it goes back to why. I mean, even if, let's say there weren't sharks in it, why are you doing that?
Well, yeah. I mean, why do it at all? We can start with that.
Yeah.
But apparently he was drunk. Also managed to slip away from the guards later on and get away. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. I know that story was true. I don't know about the other one.
All right.
Somebody sent it to me. And
well, that's the gem of the day, and then the just in case it's not real
gem right,
of the day.
Right. It's funny the even if it's not real. So, all right. Red Sox now up in the top of the fifth. Mookie Betts, 2-1 Boston. So.
I got another gem for you.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
What the hell is that?
It's cool. Why wouldn't it laugh? Oh. Did you do this or did someone on the internet do this?
The internet did this.
Oh,
somebody took his laugh and then made it into the NBC NBA song.
That damn internet. They always find a way. Makes me uncomfortable every time I hear it.
Mott says, yesterday you rarely, if at all, factored in Deshaun's injuries, but pondered if he was regressing. And today, Jerome, like most of Houston, emphasized Deshaun's lagging injuries. Was really shocked you didn't try to consider your injuries yesterday. You must have missed it, Lamont, because I spent a lot of time talking about how I think he's hurt. I even wrote that, and that it's affecting him mentally now, in addition to physically. So we spent a lot of time on that. You must have missed that part of the show. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I'm pretty sure we spent a lot of time on that. And yeah, I think the regression that is going on in part is because of injuries, in part because he's beaten up. But yeah, we did talk about that yesterday. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And man, I'm hoping Thursday. Really hoping Thursday. My problem is work keeps getting in the way. Like every
stupid
day.
Work.
I know. But you know, we're trying to build an empire here. Thursday, I'm hoping I can get there for the noon tournament at Lions Poker Palace, which is fantastic. 6134 Richmond Avenue. Guess what they got going on tonight?
A poker tournament?
Of course they do. Well, they have tournaments all day.
That's what I'm saying.
That noon tournament is my favorite. That one I love to go play. It's a sit and go. And it's over in a couple hours at the most, so I can go play that and then come to work. But I haven't had a chance to play it in a couple weeks. But tonight at 6:30, guess what they have? An $80 plus 20 plus 25 Hold'em bounty. You can get rebuys for 6 levels, $80 add-on at the break. And if you're on time, you get a bonus and 5K chips. And guess what? You can sign up for that until 8 p.m. tonight, and it's a bounty tournament. So get over there. You can watch the game. You can hang out. You can have a good time. And you're going to love the place.
Yeah, the food is out of this world, like you said. TV's all over the place. You want to go out there and, I don't know, I want to watch the game, but I'd like to play some poker. They got you covered. Whatever game you're looking to watch, whatever day, they've got you covered there at Lions. They take pride in having all the channels and all the TVs. So you want to watch something, they got it. It is a Vegas-style room, guys. This is a top-notch spot. 6134 Richmond Avenue. Go check it out for yourself. You can find their tournament schedule on Facebook, Lions Poker Palace on Facebook. But like I said, the best way is to just go by and see it for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace.
ESPN 97.5.